Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, y'all. Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start in Oakland.
Oaktown.
All right. In preparation for tonight's Thursday night football clash between AFC West rivals, the Raiders and the Chargers, I read a fascinating piece in USA Today. Headline, Derek Carr is getting too much credit for the Raiders' success. Wow.
Hmm.
The headline of the article shook my gambling core, that area in my iPhone where the Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Chase Bank, Wells Fargo, Northern Trust, and DoorDash apps are located.
That DoorDash.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders are playing at home, and Fox Bet is giving John Gruden's boys a point against an underachieving Chargers team. I wasn't planning on paying my mortgage with the Raiders tonight, but Oakland does look awful tasty. Until you read Stephen Ruiz's assault on Derek Carr. Ruiz's piece in USA Today makes Carr sound like Phillip Rivers, the most overvalued quarterback in football. Ruiz argues that Oakland's offensive line deserves all the credit for Oakland's offensive success and that Carr's league-leading performance when throwing under pressure is a function of unsustainable good luck. Ruiz calls Carr, who has 112 passer rating in his last five games, a mid-tier quarterback. Stephen Ruiz is dead wrong here. Derek Carr is the second coming of Rich Gannon. The last Oakland quarterback, John Gruden, transformed into an MVP with his bullying coaching style.
Gannon.
Let me tell you why I absolutely love Derek Carr. The price! He's like a Hyundai Palisade. You get all the luxury of a Cadillac Escalade, but there's no sticker shock. The Raiders are paying Carr $20 million this season, next season, and the next two seasons after that. This is a dream scenario. This is the Tom Brady New England Patriots scenario. Apologies to my favorite quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. The Raiders have the best QB situation in the AFC West. They're going to move to Las Vegas and into a revenue-generating stadium next year, and they have their franchise quarterback at a reasonable price. The Raiders have what Jerry Jones wants in Dallas. How can anyone criticize Derek Carr at this time? He's playing exceptional football. He's completing a career-high 71% of his passes. Halfway through the season, he's been sacked just 9 times and thrown just 4 interceptions. A year ago, he threw 10 picks and suffered 51 sacks. A year ago, Carr looked like this year's Phillip Rivers. Tonight, it's a quarterback mismatch. Derek Carr and the Raiders win by a touchdown. You have my personal pay your cell phone bill guarantee. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analysts Eric Mangini and LeVar Arrington. Marcellus, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
Do the Raiders actually have the best QB situation in the AFC West?
No. Not even close. Don't even bring this up.
Situation. I didn't say quarterback.
I'm going to say every. We know it's not quarterback. That wouldn't be a show. You're trying to get some controversy off the wordplay. Situation and being general in that respect. And I'm going to be specific while being general. If you look at who's the best quarterback, we know it's Patrick Mahomes. If you know who's the best situation, what's the best situation? It's the Kansas City Chiefs. Because having the best quarterback erases so many of your issues. And in a world where everyone has a minimum cap number, and if you have flexibility or a great capologist, you could find ways to try and exceed the cap or at least restructure your way to the top of the cap. You still have a better situation in Kansas City. If you can't afford him, why wouldn't you pay the best player and the NFL MVP? You would. So what they're paying for is what they're actually getting. They're getting someone a little less, and then they have to do a lot more around them. With Patrick Mahomes, you don't have to do the same things. In the situation with Kansas City, once you give Patrick Mahomes that money, it's going to put an onus on the organization. For everyone who checks in with the key card upstairs, executive level, you got to do your job too. Find some lower draft picks that blossom. Go out there and help us defensively in the running game. Support what we have, which is the greatest quarterback in our game today. So I look at the situation. I know what Derek Carr is and a former MVP in the conversation of MVP. But we actually have a real MVP who's going to get paid like it and help the team like it. It's Patrick Mahomes.
We're talking about the Raiders' success, not like I like John Gruden, not like Mike Mayock, but we're talking about a 500 team here. We're not talking about a team that's lighting it up. So, okay, so success is being 500. I don't know if I'd really look at that as being the end game. And
so I'm about to call you tonight after they win this game when they're over 500.
You can certainly call me because they're probably not going to win tonight. But when you look at Phillip Rivers and you look at his body of work, he's got a better completion percentage. He's got a better touchdown rate. He's got a better quarterback rating than Derek Carr. And all those things, Derek Carr has enough of a body of work to indicate where he is. And Derek Carr has had some tremendous success. He, at one point, was considered in the MVP race before he got hurt a few years ago. Mm-hmm. In terms of his contract, I believe he's in the third year of a five-year deal. So next year, they're going to be talking about renegotiating if he has success. And yeah, you have him at a good price, but when he was initially signed, that wasn't a Hyundai or whatever car you said. It was a Porsche. He was the highest paid player in the league, and he'll make a push for that money again, probably next year. If our measure of success, especially, is being 500, who knows if they actually win, you know, some more games than that, then they're going to have to pay him, you know, I'd imagine through the roof.
Mm. He most certainly is the best quarterback situation in the AFC West. And here's what I'm telling you. Look at your face. Pick your face up off of this table, Marcellus. Pick it up. Put it back on your face, and I'm going to tell you why you should do so.
What?
We know what Patrick Mahomes is. He's the future. He's the man, right?
Now.
He's a goblin. But your job is connected to Patrick Mahomes. Fail with Patrick Mahomes, get a new coaching staff. It's done for Andy Reid. Curtains. Mm. That's pressure, all right? You go, let's travel to San Diego.
LA.
Los Angeles.
Yeah. Sorry.
He was drafted.
He was drafted.
What next you going to say, London?
He was drafted to the San Diego Chargers. His mama call him a San Diego Charger. I'm going to call him San Diego Chargers. You're going to have to replace him soon. So now you're tasked with trying to figure out what do you do to replace a Hall of Fame possible quarterback that has never won the big game. All right? So that's the situation. Then you go into Denver.
Don't do it.
They have to find a quarterback.
You.
Altogether. They still haven't found a quarterback. So then you look at this Las Vegas Raiders team. You got a solid quarterback that came in as a franchise level quarterback. Your GM and your head coach inherited this player. So at the price tag that you have, Matt, it's under the market value of a franchise quarterback. You get to play it out and see if he's a franchise-level quarterback that you should pay franchise dollars to, whether you have to renegotiate it or not. And if he fails, we got runway to get a different quarterback. If he succeeds, pay him. We're moving forward. I did it with Rich Gannon before. I'm doing it with Carr now. Of course they're in the best situation. You guys are welcome.
Let me just add to that again. Some people, Cowherd ended his show talking about the Raiders offensive line, which Stephen Ruiz gives all the credit to. They paid a lot of money for this offensive line, and it's performing at a high level. You can do that when a quarterback isn't eating up a large percentage of your cap. According to our research, I'm trusting Andy, our researcher, on this. The only quarterback to win a Super Bowl or who had the highest percentage of the cap with Steve Young at like 13%.
Year one, too.
Yeah, once you start getting above that, you got problems filling out the rest of your team. Look, I want Patrick Mahomes to be a Kansas City Chief for the rest of his career, pay him the $40, $45 million, whatever. But it's going to make it harder to have the best offensive line around him and the other talent around him that it takes to be successful. I think the Raiders have three more years with, if not four more years, with Derek Carr under contract. I think they're in great shape.
Aren't they 1-2 in the last three games? Didn't it come down to a pass deflected in the end zone this past? They're 1-2 in the last three games. And maybe I'm missing something on this. And I do think they're going through a rebuild. And I appreciate all those things. But if they have a very good quarterback, or the quarterback that we're saying is a franchise quarterback, you would think that rebuild would be happening more rapidly than it is, because you've got an offensive-minded head coach. You've got a guy that you're earmarking as a franchise quarterback.
They're in the playoff hunt right now, Eric.
Okay, every team at 4-4, I guess, is in the playoff hunt.
Yeah. So they took a chance on bringing Antonio Brown in. Like,
they lost Burfict, who they were building their defense around. They lost A.B., this is going well.
But
like a rapid chase to become a Super Bowl contending team when you bring in guys like Burfict and Antonio
Brown.
That's
like saying win now, even though we've never won. Let's forecast. That's great. Yeah. Great assumptions. But let's look at record. And the reason I love record is because it's reliable. You can't change it. This guy has lost, my man, has lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of his 6 seasons. I'm including this year because he's not a winner yet. So you can say this
tonight. We'll talk tonight.
He's on his fourth head coach. Fourth head coach in a, 6-year career? Now, you say if you don't win with Patrick Mahomes, you're out of there. I don't believe that to be the case. But I do know you're out of there if you have a quarterback who can't win. And Derek Carr can't win. He's won 1 year, 12-3, and he still has a losing starting record. You take away that 1 year, 24-47. You give him that 1 year, 36-50. You know what gets your coach fired?
You're throwing that argument point, no statistics, out to a top draft pick that had more head coaches than years in the league at one point.
Not at quarterback.
You cannot put what you just said on the quarterback. You have to put that on how the functionality of the organization is. Come on, Marshall. You know that.
When you walk into a situation when you have a franchise quarterback, there's usually longevity. Drew Brees, there's longevity. You look at Ben Roethlisberger, there's longevity. You look at Aaron Rodgers, there's longevity. So
they go hand
there's
in hand.
A difference between walking into a situation with a franchise quarterback and walking into a situation where the quarterback is somewhere in between.
What about an organization that's been in ownership transition, financial transition, as they try to get to Las Vegas? The Raiders have been in flux for the last 3 or 4 years. They haven't been financially sound since Al Davis passed away. That's one of the reasons they're moving to Las Vegas and trying to get in this revenue-generating stadium. The Raiders have been trying to do it on the cheap. They go out and get John Gruden. Look, I've criticized and laughed at John Gruden. The plan is coming together. He's getting results out of Derek Carr and this team. They're in the playoff hunt. They're better than people anticipated at this point, particularly coming out of the Antonio Brown situation. I love where they're sitting at contractually with Derek Carr, performance-wise with Derek Carr, and moving to Las Vegas. I don't think we should be dumping on them, and I can't wait till tomorrow when they're 5-4 and we can quit talking about them being a loser.
5-4, they can't beat the
Chargers. Not one of those quarterbacks that you named was a part of a type of organization that Whitman broke down and tried to open Raiders.
Hey, folks, it's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie. Formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services. Marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you. It's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fund projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area, so you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com, or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington, and Eric Mangini are back. Time now for a big story sponsored by KFC. Come enjoy our new Kentucky Fried Wings in Buffalo, Honey Barbecue, and Nashville Hot. I'm hungry. All right, let's move to Chicago, where Mitchell Trubisky has been taking a ton of heat after a series of terrible performances during the Bears' four-game losing streak. But Trubisky is now suggesting a novel approach to tuning out the criticism, saying he wants all the televisions at the Bears' facility to be turned off because, quote, there are too many people talking about the team. All right, question here is, like Mitchell Trubisky's approach here?
No, not at all. One, when you're underperforming, this is the last thing you want to map on to your personality, your persona, your mental attributes as an athlete, because you're in that locker room as a quarterback to lead those men on the field. And they're starting to look at you once they hear this, like, I thought you weren't playing well because you weren't playing well. I didn't know that outside forces were having some influence or impact on how you're underperforming, which is discouraging. It would make me feel a certain way if I were his teammates. But this is also something that is really undermining, which is one of the greatest attributes of all athletes, the ability to compartmentalize. When you have kickoff at 1 o'clock and 10 o'clock, you got to leave the house to go to the stadium, get there early by 11, and the mom wants more tickets and the girlfriend is still complaining about something you guys were talking about the day before, and the kids are saying, Daddy, where are you going? We'll see you later. And your uncles is driving up, still drinking from the night before.
I forgot wife. Throw wife in there. Go ahead, make your point.
That's the first thing you said.
I'm talking about when I was playing.
Oh, no, he did. All
right. I wasn't married on all purpose. Right. I knew what I was up to. So all that happens, and guess what? Still a moment of truth. Kickoff. I got to compartmentalize. So you're walking through a locker room and you're looking at our ugly faces that you actually dictate our content. You play well, we have nothing left to say, but you play well. You're getting influenced by the tail instead of the head of this dog. Man, I would look at him sideways.
First of all, I'd want you at the stadium a little earlier than 11.
No. You know me.
Let's start there. The second thing is, I would want my franchise quarterback to have enough juice to be able to get the TVs turned off in the building. Like, he should be able to just say, hey, I want the TVs off. And, you know, you'd think that they would respond to that. But all that being said, I appreciate what he's saying about distractions. And we talk about this all the time. There's three things that you fight every week. You fight division from within. You fight the media and you fight the other team. Those are three things that you got to overcome each week. And the media is just more a function of the outside noise. It takes a lot of different forms. And to Marcellus's point, you can't worry about what everybody else thinks about you. That has nothing to do with what's going on in the building. That has nothing to do with the opponent that you're facing. And it's wasted time. It's wasted energy. And it's completely irrelevant to how you should perform and how you should be viewing the week and your ability and your opportunity.
I find it hard to put a concrete judgment on whether I like it or not. To me, I'm interpreting this as him being an 11-3 quarterback as a player the year before, the success that he was able to have. This could be a very classic case of, if you put it in the proper context, him showing the leadership that this team may need. That may be one component of several different things that Trubisky is presenting and saying in order for not only himself, because I'm taking the assumption that he's not basing this off of himself. He's basing this off of them as a team. So it's how, what's being reported. What's the source? Where did this source come from that's saying he wants the TVs off? Was that a direct quote from him in an interview? Did somebody leak that out? Where are these things coming from? Because I think if that is a line item and things that Trubisky as a leader is presenting, then I like the approach.
He said it on camera.
He said it on camera.
Yeah, okay, said it on camera. All right.
Look, I can't believe. No, I'm sorry. I can't believe there's any disagreement. This is great.
How?
Because communication has been devalued by technology. There's way too much outside noise. It's completely different than from when I certainly grew up and from when we all grew up, when there was one TV in a house, one phone line. Now there's just an overabundance. Everybody's got a TV in their room. Everybody's got a TV on their phone. Everybody's listening
and that's where they
to
get
all the outside noise. And I don't, I have this dispute with my family constantly. Turn the damn TV off. If it's not sports or something real, don't pay attention to it because it's driving you crazy. If it's not sports, if it's not sports or something I want to see on Netflix, I don't turn my TV on because I can't take the constant noise that everybody gets caught up in. It's just ridiculous. The conversations, the whole thing. I don't blame this dude for saying, as 53 men trying to come together and focus on something, we don't need to be even hearing what Jason Whitlock and Marcellus Wiley.
First of all, you know they are watching sports at the facility. So, in your house.
Talking about live sports.
Let's say this. Separate the signal from the noise. I hate when people blame the devices, blame the outsiders. So what happens now? Mitch, you get in the game and the outsiders, the 80,000, are screaming against you? Oh, that's different because you can't interpret the words.
About.
Let's talk about this. Is it the trash or is it your filter? Mentally, you have to be able to process things and put them in their proper perspective. I give you this. Old man focus was this. Throw one dot on the wall, stare at it. Football. That's all I eat, sleep, drink, football. New man focus, throw all the dots on the wall. Know which ones to prioritize. Know which ones matter first.
That's much harder what you're talking about.
I didn't say what. Look, being a franchise quarterback and excelling and succeeding is hard as well. If you don't have those mental attributes, they won't display physically.
But if it's an effort to have leadership, to me, I would look at it and feel as though the guy is trying to unite us. If you have a uniting factor, a uniting force, energy connected to it that's genuine, then you're going to respect it. Whether we like the idea of it, don't turn the TVs off or not, I still think that he's trying to start a conversation. And if you're starting a conversation, I'm not condemning the dude for being that type of leader.
Look, whether it's phones or TVs or whatever it is, I think it's Betty Ford that said, no one can make you feel badly about yourself unless you let them. And if you're a successful person, that means you're out there taking chances. You're putting yourself out there. Yeah. And there's always going to be a group that's going to criticize the way that you do things, sure, the way that you conduct yourself. And the people that have true grit are the ones that are able to block out that noise, mm-hmm, no matter where it comes from, because it's going to keep coming. The more successful you are, the more noise.
Thank you.
And the only way that you're going to maintain success isn't by getting into some sort of sheltered environment. It's by facing the noise head on and being able to have enough self-confidence and resolve to say, I believe in who I am and what
but
I
do. But could there be a possibility that he's identifying a few that this might not be directly attributed to him?
No.
What if he's defending someone?
Well,
what if there's someone he's covering?
There's guys in that locker room, like in every locker room, that are immature, that do get distracted by the outside noise. He may be talking about himself and several of his teammates. Who knows? But for any human being in 2019 to say turn the TVs off, in terms of all the outside noise and second guessing of people, and because again, the whole political thing is what drives me crazy. I just can't take it. It's stupid conversation intended to drive people crazy, and it works. This guy's just trying to say, man, we're here trying to win football games. Some of us, maybe myself, maybe some of the others, we're too caught up in what others are saying about us. You have this conversation with young people all the time. Look, the great ones can compartmentalize, but football teams and athletic teams usually have a handful of great ones and a bunch of other people that are being dragged to greatness by the great ones.
If you write down the right answer, there's nothing you could tell me to make me change my answer. So that means focusing on your work. Know what you have to do. Because when you start to let those outside forces become internalized, you're never going to have pure self-confidence. So I don't care what we say. We can say great things. It's not going to make you play greater. We can say bad things. It's not going to make you play worse. So it's on you. Your filter needs to be corrected.
But it could trigger the conversation.
As a teammate.
Starting tomorrow, join us as we salute the troops and celebrate Veterans Day here on Speak for Yourself. We'll have shout-outs from active military bases, a special studio audience, and hits from this weekend's special Fox NFL Sunday from West Point Military Academy. Trust us, you won't want to miss it tomorrow on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern on FS1. All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself, the most fearless show in sports, presented by Hyundai. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, joined by Yahoo Sports senior NBA insider Chris Haynes. Let's talk load management.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers star Kawhi Leonard is facing growing criticism over his decision to continue managing the number of NBA regular season games he plays. Last night, Leonard skipped a marquee home matchup against the Milwaukee Bucks and their superstar forward, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You need a load management words. Medicine words.
ESPN broadcaster Doris Burke said Leonard's decision to not play was ridiculous. Former NBA veteran Kendrick Perkins said that load management is getting out of hand and that the players need to hold up their end of the deal during last night's TV telecast. Mark Jackson expressed his displeasure with Leonard's decision. I don't like what Leonard is doing, but the blame for load management rests above Leonard's head. It starts at the commissioner's office. Adam Silver is the most celebrated commissioner in the history of sports. He's treated by the media as if he's a combination of Abraham Lincoln and Pete Rozelle for no justifiable reason. Oh, that's right. He fired Donald Sterling after 30 years. So I guess we'll be waiting 30 years for the NBA to take action on a problem that has been obvious for a decade. NBA players no longer have an interest in playing 82 games.
Mm-hmm.
They've been mailing in a dozen hangover performances for two or three decades, and in recent years, Spurs coach Greg Popovich made it fashionable to give veteran players rest. Mm. Kawhi's taking it to the next level. This is inevitable. The players make a gazillion dollars and want to do so for as long as possible. They want less wear and tear on their bodies. They're no different from NFL players who have basically used their leverage to outlaw football practice. If Adam Silver were as smart as his media groupies proclaimed, he'd be out ahead of this issue, and the league and the players' union would reach an accord on shortening the NBA season. I blame Adam Silver more than I do Kawhi Leonard. All right, Marcellus.
Mm-hmm.
Blame Adam Silver for the NBA's load management issue.
You know I got a joke ready. I mean, you gonna try that one more time? Let me get that.
Antetokounmpo.
My dog! Redemption.
Antetokounmpo.
See?
You ain't got to practice all morning.
Yeah, I know.
Antetokounmpo.
You ain't got to turn off the TV, Miss Trubisky. Just keep watching it. One, I don't have an issue at all with this. And I'm getting a little perturbed, disturbed by the fans who keep inserting themselves a little too high in the priority, in the pecking order, in the food chain, talking about we paid our hard-earned money to go to the game and he's not there. You know what is also true? Last time I went to Six Flags, the Colossus was shut down. Guess what I did? Went on the Revolution. Just, you know what? Kept it moving. It's enough to do. It's coming back. You can go back again. It's going to be 82 games plus. Shut your trap. Now, let me get to why.
Little man was upset, though. You dealt with it. Oh,
Little man was hot. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But Pirate's Booty Popcorn saves all parents. Just letting you know that. I love the player empowerment that is coming from this. More importantly, the organizational support and cooperation. That is amazing just to think, as a former player, to not only have an organization serving their interests while your self-interests are also respected. Because there are times when you're compromised. I give you Adam Silver's words verbatim. That term load management is generally used in regard to rest. That's not what the protocol was for Kawhi. He has an injury. This is different than a guy just saying, let me see the schedule. Tap out. This
the
is a
Bucks.
Guy. I'm giving you this. Kawhi Leonard has not played a back-to-back since April of 2017. For all you clout chasers, all you people want to make smoke, where you been for two, almost 3 years talking about this? It's building now because this team is the Clippers, supposed to win the championship. I am saying to you guys that if you have a player who is managing the marathon, the course, the terrain properly, and an organization supports him, and an NBA that supports him, where do you think your concerns truly land? Quiet and move on to the next game.
That was a good point. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, damn.
That's been a while since he played in the back-to-back.
Man.
And if that trend continued, which it did this week, I mean, obviously, look, you got an option of playing against Giannis or playing against Rodney Hood and Kent Bazemore tonight. Mm. I think that's self-explanatory right there. But yeah. I will say this, to stick with the question, I think Adam Silver is going to have to be the one who does something about this issue. But I think it's beyond him. It's bigger than him. He's going to have to be the one to resolve it. Earl Watson tweeted this a couple days ago. I don't know if you guys seen this.
I did.
That players are coming into the league with malice based off of the rigorous AAU schedule.
Right.
And if you add on the top high school players, the ones who are McDonald's All-American caliber type players, on top of the AAU schedule, they go outside the country, play all these games throughout the summer. They're playing more games than their regular high school season. And so if you add all of that, they're not the regular 19-year-old players that we've accustomed to. Now, we want to say Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, they did it. Well, they didn't play as many games as they did during the course of regular high school season than these players are playing now. Look at LaMelo. You can't tell me he's going to be a regular, fresh 19-year-old coming into the league. You know, he's been all over the place. So I think that is a big issue. That's the biggest issue. But it's going to be up to Adam Silver to fix it.
Can we not agree they should shorten the season to
65? Yes, that's what needs to happen.
Saying it. Every player is crying out for that.
Yeah.
And shouldn't we agree if 15% of the games go away, they're going to have to give up 15% of the money?
Down, that's a player conversation.
I'm
in their pockets. Me, I wouldn't make that deal. I would just load manage for my 82. And load management can take a lot of different versions and courses. Doc Rivers talks about this. I'm holding Patrick out of practice. I'm going to try and find ways to get him out of the games without load managing and violating the NBA's rules. There are times when you have a player who sees a back-to-back and has a lingering issue, you start to play that and prolong that. But let's not forget why Kawhi has become the poster child for this and how we got here and how the Spurs try to destroy his character when he actually was injured. And when he went back and they misdiagnosed him for a second time, and he said, the Spurs, the story franchise, is not going to respect this player. And then they started to employ Ginobili and who else did they?
Tony Parker.
Yeah. And David Robinson and all the alums to assault this man's character who has never said a word to anybody and certainly nothing of malice. And he realized in that moment, oh, I got to do for myself. Dolo on this one. And I respect Kawhi, even if he were violating the rules, which in this situation, he's not.
Here's my problem with Adam Silver, though. And my problem with, because I don't think there's anybody looking out for American basketball. Earl Watson gets at a great point. And this is where I think basketball's been out of control for a long time. No one wants to step up and do what's right for college basketball and for high school basketball. The shoe companies get, and summer basketball gets free reign to do whatever the hell they wanted to do. This is why I'm just saying, Adam Silver and the NBA are so focused on China that no one's doing the right things to protect the health of American basketball. And that's why you got 16, 17-year-old kids out here playing too many damn games, not protecting their long-term health. American basketball is not in great health. We keep looking, oh, they're producing the stars, blah, blah, blah. This game is being neglected. The NBA would be better, I'm telling you, in America, if the college game were better. But America's not the priority. Mm. China's the priority. And that's why American basketball continues to languish. College basketball becomes less and less important and more irrelevant. And we're allowing that to happen. I don't think that's good for American basketball. Eric Mangini's back. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst TJ Houshmandzadeh. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about Antonio Brown. There are reports that the receiver will be meeting with the league next week over allegations of sexual assault. But in the meantime, Brown is outraged that the NFL has been dragging their feet on the investigation, tweeting today, quote, "Imagine conforming to a system, giving it 100% to see them treat me like this is unfairly. Making money off my sweat and blood, F the NFL. I'll never play in that league. Treat black people the worst, clear my name, and go F yourself." Mm. Guys, I want to just ask you straight up, do you agree with AB that he's being treated unfairly?
No. I think that AB doesn't want to play in the NFL anymore. He doesn't want to play football. That's been my narrative ever since his shenanigans in Oakland. And it continues. Josina Anderson reports that the NFL is trying to meet with him next week. Mm. And now he just blows up that meeting with these tweets and screw the NFL. He don't want to play football, man.
Next week, right? And he's been gone for almost 2 months now.
Yeah.
Welcome to bureaucracy. And this is interesting. I don't like his response, obviously. Two wrongs don't make a right. But it's interesting when you talk about him. I think that the slow trail, the snail of this was offensive because he lost in the court of public opinion, so therefore he lost the pressure that the public will put on the NFL to expedite this. So they took their time, and for many reasons they may have took their time. The connection to Robert Kraft may have made them delay this.
Pot shots at Robert Kraft.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All that, when you talk about disturbing and undermining human capital, relationships, people are not going to serve your interests and priority. So welcome to bureaucracy if you're AB. But I look at this situation and I say, he had a case. And his case was, even if I am guilty, even if you're going to penalize me, may I start that sentence now? Not 2 months later to even go through the process to start that judgment. So he had a case, but this doesn't certainly help it.
To answer the question, yeah, he's being treated unfairly. And
by who?
I'm going to get to it. It sucks that he's put these tweets out on social media because it's like, how can I say that after he does this?
Right.
And I'm agreeing with Marcellus. There's no clarity here. Has he been treated? Give him some clarity. Let him know what's going on. Let him know you're going to be suspended X amount of games for whatever reason. Interview him as soon as possible, like you've done in years past. They kept him on ice, so he has no idea. So when he puts this out, it's frustrating for him because, like Marcellus said, I've already sat out 8 games, some teams 9. Am I going to be suspended now? Or does the games that I sat out, does that count as my suspension? There was no clarity here. And so for him, yeah, he's being treated unfairly from that perspective. What he's put out today, I don't agree with. There's no way you come to meet with me next week and you put this out and I'm going to have any type of compassion for anything you say. None at all.
Well, he shot his way out of Pittsburgh. He shot his way out of Oakland. He'd had a third opportunity in New England. He actually counts as dead money on all three of those teams' caps. So there's plenty of opportunities. And then throughout this whole process, he's made it as difficult as possible for people to want to facilitate closure. And I think Marcellus makes a very good point. When you're constantly attacking and creating additional problems for yourself, there's no motivation for anybody to speed things up, to make things any easier for you after you've made them so difficult for yourself and then trying to make it as difficult for everybody else. I don't think there's been anything unfair about this process. When you sign an NFL contract, there's very specific stipulations on how things work, and you're at the mercy of the commissioner for most things, and it's just the way it is.
Look, this guy has been... They say it's a privilege to play in the NFL, and I agree with that.
Yes.
I think it's a privilege to work here at Fox, ESPN. We get paid well. I get paid $78,000 a year to do this show. Huh? I'm very pleased and appreciative of that. And it's a privilege to work here, and it was working. We sit around and talk about sports for nothing.
Man.
This guy gets to play a kid's game for millions of dollars.
Mm.
And you want to take pot shots at Robert Kraft when he came and got you up out of Oakland and gave you a chance to play with the two greatest guys that ever did it?
Mm.
And you take those kind, and you expect them to be in a rush to get you back into their little private club of millionaires? I'm sorry. I don't think he's responsible. Again, if you, the NFL is the hottest girl in town. If you want to date her, you don't take pot shots.
But you basically just said they're treating him unfairly because of what he's done.
Mm-hmm. No, he calls that.
But it's
if
still,
I talk poorly
course,
to you,
of course.
Now, I'm going to cause you to treat me poorly.
And yes. I want to focus in on that because there are some parallels to our judicial system and how the NFL is trying to run their private judicial system. You have to. It's imperative to keep an objective lens in both situations. That means no matter how they come at you, how they attack you, you still have to respect the process. So personal feelings do not come into play in the process. Here's a case in point. When you get arrested or anything happens to you on the streets, you go in, you're innocent till found guilty. And here's the first out. Do you have bail money? If there is a bail. And if you don't have bail money, even though the presumption is you're innocent, you're sitting there. Now, as you're sitting there, isn't there a hope that we're going to expedite this? Because let's be real, I'm innocent until you prove that I'm guilty. AB is looking at all these situations, and he has several, and he's like, I can be guilty, but please expedite the process no matter how I personally made you feel in an objective situation and system.
But like in,
that's where the NFL went wrong.
In any system, in the judicial system as well, your case is heard in order of when it happens, and there may be other things.
To
that,
a point.
There may you be other things that have come in front of them. And if you don't like the way the NFL is doing business, there's been a lot of people who have sued the NFL. There's been a lot of people who have used the legal system to try to facilitate the things that they want through the NFL. And he has every right to do that.
Right.
It's just to say that he's being treated unfairly when most of the problems are problems that he's brought upon himself. I think that's very hard for people to see.
I don't disagree with he brought a lot of these
problems. I agree. I
don't
fully.
Just the way the process.
2 months?
TJ.
2 months?
I can't speak for Eric, but all of us have had families in the court system. If you see a family member,
why
you see
a parent.
I don't know. I'm sure maybe he has.
Look,
if you see a family member talking crazy to the judge, aren't you like, hey man, cut that out?
Oh yeah.
They putting time. Stop.
Oh yeah.
That's what he's doing. He's talking crazy to the judge.
100%. I agree.
But I feel sorry.
But the judge still has the onus and the sworn oath to
be objective.
Disregard
not
that.
Roger. No, they don't.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't. AB made a fool out of one. Roger Goodell's 32 balls.
So then expedite the process and say you're guilty and you're banned from the league.
I'm gonna tell you what they've done. I guarantee you this, y'all. They just can't call AB. You know he's hard to get on the phone. And you know it's hard to get him to cooperate.
They can call Drew Rosenhaus. He can relay the message.
Actually, I don't know that.
I guarantee you they've reached out and tried, and then when they didn't get the kind of cooperation they wanted, say, okay, AB, do you. Do you.
But that's irresponsible.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's irresponsible. Why
is it irresponsible?
Because your feelings are hurt.
Because
you're talking bad about me.
You don't want your other employees doing this.
That's why we hurry up and get this done.
But in a lot of ways, you're also setting precedent. And it's like anything else. If you're going to act this way, we're going to respond this way.
So then
the next person that decides whether or not they want to do that, they got to take a step back and say, okay,
how many players have you seen do this? How many players will do this?
None.
There's not very many. And so
you're
not setting a precedent because guys aren't going to do this.
And I hate that we're writing unspoken rules and almost laws. Basically, oh, you want to act like that? I'm going to put you back in your place without even saying anything like that. And that's unfair in a process, in a situation.
Who doesn't do that, Marcel?
But that doesn't
Every
make it
human
right.
Being.
That doesn't make it right.
I do it.
I am not. I don't have a sworn oath to put that in its proper bucket.
I don't have a sworn oath to overlook AB's stupidity.
And the
I ain't the commissioner either. I feel the commissioner, but I wouldn't do it that way.
All right, let's return to the NFL. Hall of Fame NFL executive Bill Polian made news this week by admitting he was wrong for stating before the 2018 NFL draft that Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson should switch to wide receiver. Polian walked back his pre-draft analysis to longtime NFL reporter Jared Bell of USA Today. Polian told Bell, I was wrong because I used the old traditional quarterback standard with him, which is clearly why John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome were more prescient than I was. Polian's walk back sparked Bell to write that Polian's original critique of Jackson smacked of barriers that many athletic African-American quarterbacks faced in previous decades. Jared Bell is a friend of mine. He's been one of the top football writers for at least two decades. But we, black people in the sports media, need to find a new way to talk about black NFL quarterbacks who get criticized. Bill Polian wasn't being racist or biased or smacking old barriers when he said Lamar Jackson should consider playing wide receiver. Bill Polian simply offered a bad opinion about a quarterback prospect. The Dolphins selected Dan Marino at the bottom of the first round of the 1983 draft because there were widespread rumors that Marino was a drug and party boy at the University of Pittsburgh. Damn near everyone said Terry Bradshaw was too stupid to play quarterback in the NFL. Black Cowboys linebacker Hollywood Henderson said Bradshaw couldn't spell cat. Bradshaw once said John Elway couldn't read defenses. My boy Jeff George, Mel Kiper attacked everything about his character. The point is, NFL quarterback is a high-altitude, high-turbulence position. Criticism and bad opinions go along with the job. It's like being president. If you can't withstand the inevitable turbulence, you're not fit for the position. So far, Lamar Jackson is handling the turbulence quite well. He's used the criticism as motivation. It's his groupies in the media who have struggled. They're the people acting like Polian's misguided opinion is the equivalent of Jackson being banished to the Canadian Football League like Warren Moon was 40 years ago. It's no longer 1978. Black NFL quarterbacks now get treated like white NFL quarterbacks. Russell Wilson is the highest paid player in football. Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Lamar Jackson are the leading candidates for the league MVP. Dak Prescott is going to get overpaid the same as Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. 72% of NFL players are black. Let's quit treating those players like special needs children who we must place in a protective bubble. Lamar Jackson is a grown man. He can survive all the same media abuse Terry Bradshaw did. All this whining about a bad opinion makes us look like we're not man enough to handle the turbulence that comes standard with high-profile, high-altitude positions of leadership. All right, guys. Are black quarterbacks still treated differently than white quarterbacks?
Dang.
Most fearless show in sports, bro.
I mean,
come on.
I almost wholeheartedly, I'm 90 percentile with you. But there is something that needs to be discussed, and I would love for us as a collective to come to new ground, new understanding on this. Because I understand that Bill Polian gave a bad opinion. We all do. But why? I think that's a fair question. And how did you get there? Okay, I know Bill Polian, worked with him, it's felt like daily for years while I was at ESPN. We'll vouch for his character. I don't care what y'all say. He's like, to me, one of the godfathers of football. His intelligence just exudes in everything he does. That said, there's an implicit bias that I see in this situation. I'm going to give you an example, and we know that example is going to be low-hanging fruit, Tim Tebow. But let me tell you why I'm going to bring up that example. True equality is the ability to be normal. Mm. Not a superstar, not extraordinary, just normal. Now, Chris Rock famously laughs and jokes about how he's a superstar comedian, his neighbor's just a dentist, a white guy. And he's like, that's my neighborhood. Normal people and me, superstar. Because is there really equality in terms of economic mobility? I couch that to say this about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow had his struggles as a quarterback in NFL. But when he was making the transition to the NFL, former Heisman Trophy winner, no one came out of record that I know of this level that
now.
Said,
maybe you should be a
maybe
receiver.
You should do something else. Now, once he was allowed now. The ability, the opportunity to fail, people started to say, H-back, tight end,
disagree.
Might be smart for you. Okay, you can disagree, but I'm gonna give it back to you. So here's the thing. Lamar Jackson, a Heisman Trophy winner, meaning I'm the best player in college football, and I play quarterback, was asked, maybe you should switch positions and not have the ability or the opportunity to fail. To me, that's not a normal circumstance, and that's why I wanted to bring that one snag in what I registered from Bill Polian.
They are still slightly treated differently. It's slightly. When you're Whitlock, it swayed me a little bit. But when you look at it and you delve into it, it was very recent. Mitchell Trubisky was drafted ahead of Deshaun Watson. And if you base it, you know,
Jamarcus Russell was drafted ahead of a lot of people.
But that's far and few between. That's far and few between.
Keely Smith,
a black quarterback has to prove himself more. You said Dak Prescott's going to get overpaid. Probably. But he has to prove himself. He was drafted in the fourth round. He was underdrafted. Russell Wilson was underdrafted.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees was a second round pick.
That's underdrafted. He's not going to the Hall of Fame.
You look at it. Now, Lamar Jackson, it was almost disrespectful. You have to play where you can't throw the ball. Give him
one
a chance.
One guy said that.
But this one guy. Is what you said. Hall people considering guy. A godfather of football because of what he did with the Panthers, the Colts.
I want to use Tebow just as the example. One. I'm going to use Tebow as the example.
Say that clean.
Tebow, there were a lot of people that thought he wasn't an NFL quarterback who said so instantly.
Not to change his position. They said you're going to struggle.
I thought from the word go is H-back. But the difference between Tebow and Lamar is, and this is really about where the NFL has moved in that short time frame, is you've now had an NFL organization go, you know what? I'm going all in on Lamar Jackson's running skills and his abilities. No organization was ever willing to do that for Tim Tebow. The Denver Broncos never built an offense specifically for Tebow's skill sets. We've transitioned.
You don't think John Fox, when they went on that playoff run?
No, not like they're
all. He was throwing the ball 10 times a game.
I got it, but there was no run offense built around Tim Tebow. Football has moved. Baltimore has done something unique, and they first time I think we've ever seen it in the NFL for any quarterback, just going all
and
in
Baltimore
on the guys.
Baltimore did something unique because who was there in the position of power to
make? John Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie Newsome. Yes. Right. Let's keep talking.
Go ahead, Lamar.
Yeah, let's hear this.
Are black people and general societies treated differently now? Mm. Now, answer the question.
Okay, hold on. Let me stop you there.
All right.
Do realize that athletes, professional athletes, are not treated the way the overwhelming majority of African-Americans are.
You do.
So let's don't lump.
You do realize.
Let's don't lump my mama, my brother, and all these other people in with athletes. Athletes get treated differently. If the rest of the world operated like athletics, it looked more like the NBA and the NFL. So don't lump athletes in with everybody else.
I don't know what he was doing. He ain't finished. Let's see.
Okay. Go ahead.
So here we go. And the answer is no. The answer, after all of that, is still no.
Right.
Football, sports in general, is a microcosm of the greater whole. So I am going to put, I'm not lumping them. Mm. I am categorizing. Sport is just another category that represents a microcosm of the total whole of the society and the culture that is
Here's
driven.
Here's where I disagree with you, LeVar.
That's fine.
Sports operates more effectively, more fairly with race than the rest of society. That's just a fact. Much of the progress we've made here in America can be directly attributed to our success in sports and trailblazers.
I would disagree with you, and I would argue and say that the glass house and ceiling that is created within sports would lend to create the actual. This is
Russell Wilson has a glass ceiling.
Yes, yes, he does. Yes, he does, because once you leave...
He's being cheated. Mahomes has got a glass ceiling.
I'm not saying they're being cheated. What I'm saying is they fit into what their identity is and what defines them as that athlete playing in the game.
Again, who defines the athlete? The athlete or some other people? Bill Polian doesn't define Lamar Jackson, me, or anybody else, and that's why Lamar Jackson's out there balling.
All right, you don't go as far as to say that they're doing the defining. What I'm saying is they're fitting into the microcosm of what our culture represents. So whether they make more money than the average human being in doing their profession, whether they get more airtime and being able to be on television, there's still a glass ceiling based upon what their racial background is. And that's just keeping it way 100
so,
real.
Again, Russell Wilson is probably going to win the MVP, is the highest paid football player in the NFL. What ceiling, where does he need to go to where you can say there is no glass ceiling? What does he need to
we're
do?
Saying, are they
twice
treated,
as high paid?
We're saying, are they
he's
treated
past
differently?
This now. Russell
we're
Wilson
saying,
has
we're
gotten
saying,
past
are
that.
They treated differently than white quarterbacks?
Well, let me say this. What's happening here, I don't think you guys are arguing the same thing.
We're probably not.
Yeah. We're not, respect. Not, we could have a long ass segment if y'all want to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to circle back to opportunity, because what opportunity gives you the spectrum to do is either be properly rewarded or properly penalized. But we're talking about a level playing field of reward and penalty. There is no glass ceiling in the NFL. Let's just be real. But the conversation does go to, is there the same in terms of congruent penalty? When you talk about if a black quarterback fails and a white quarterback fails, will they be the same? But that's not even my point. This is what the real issue is, and this is so nuanced. You can say that there is no greater penalty for a black quarterback, but here's what happens. When you have a criticism that will choke the opportunity away from the next, that's why it becomes few and far between. As Lamar Jackson is a double minority in the NFL. He's a black quarterback.
Are there any black quarterbacks
in the NFL? Let me finish this. He's a black quarterback. And he's a running quarterback, making him a running black quarterback.
How many black quarterbacks coming into the NFL have not had running attached to their name? How many?
How many black
quarterbacks?
Patrick Mahomes. No, a lot. I don't go there.
No.
A lot. Jacoby Brissett.
Athleticism.
Jacoby Brissett.
Athleticism.
Dwayne Haskins just went in the first round. Marcel, we got to stick to facts.
Yeah, I was going there, but go ahead, Marcel. I don't know where I'm at right now, but all I got to say is this. This is the real of it all. The only harm that comes from a guy like Bill Polian saying something like this, the only harm, and this is you maybe even reaching for it, is that it will influence the minds of someone else to not give the same opportunity.
And so
that's all I can grab from this.
If I'm Terry Bradshaw watching this at home, and he was called every idiot in the world by white sports writers, a black player called, he said he couldn't spell cat, if he can deal with it and handle it, why can't we?
But it's not leaning into the limitation of the stereotype. What you call Terry Bradshaw something like that, that's an anomaly at best. You say a running quarterback can't
very
play
rare.
The position,
every,
all of a sudden you're leaning
into the point I'm trying to make.
Everybody in a leadership, high-profile leadership position that's well-paid. Man, there's so much turbulence and criticism.
Oh, yeah, all day.
Because there's jealousy and hate, and that's all this is.
But his
if you
success.
Ascend to that position, quarterback, trust me, people are going to rip and criticize mm-hmm. you. Your character, mm-hmm. everything about you is going to be questioned.
Yeah.
That's what goes along with the position. And either we're man enough for it, or we're going to sit around and whine about it.
But
oh,
that's
my
a
God,
fair,
they said this
that's
is that.
A fair, it's a fair point,
you're but, right,
but where,
how,
that, where it comes
why.
From, the how and...
The how and the why is all I wanted
get
to bring up.
That, that's it. We finished setting up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We coming back. Mustard on the beat.
All right, welcome back to Whitlock and Wiley, or Woosa. Speak for yourself, Whitlock and Wiley. TJ Husmanzadeh and LeVar Arrington are back. Woosa. We thought about kicking LeVar off.
Oh, why ain't I go there?
But let's move to Dallas.
Great feeling.
Where the argument over Dak Prescott's value continues to rage. Now one Cowboys insider, the Fort Worth Star's Clarence Hill, says Dak is actually the MVP of the team. He'll also call this year's Cowboys consistently inconsistent, and the same can be said about Dak Prescott. I'm skipping the rest of that and just say, if Dak is your MVP,
don't do this.
At 15 TDs and 8 interceptions,
here you go.
My God, you've had a disappointing season.
I knew you were going to do that calculation. Man, look, it's not going as advertised. We all get it. It's been a little rockier than expected, but they had a turbulent summer. And preparation is the separation. So you guys had your starting workhorse running back in Cabo. And I don't care what shape you're in. You're not in football shape unless you're playing football. We all know that. And Zeke didn't hit the ground running necessarily in his first few games. He's on a good little tear right now of recent note. But Dak Prescott.
Your MVP, 15 TDs.
I like Dak Prescott. I like the fact that he is the consistent guy. He is the leader. He is the performer that they can bank on this year consistently. I've been an MVP on a two-win team before. The Dolphins this year are going to have an MVP. I don't give a damn who you are. It doesn't matter by the record necessarily. Somebody's still out there getting it done, and Dak is getting it done.
When you 5-3, how can things be a disappointment? How can your quarterback that you look at Dallas offensively, they're first in total offense, fifth in points per game. that's a success offensively.
First.
And when your team MVP isn't one of the top 10 quarterbacks. He's one of the top 10 guys.
Number one offense.
Statistically, he's one of the top 5 quarterbacks.
Hello.
In your eyes, he's not one of the top 10. But what he does
you
on the field.
He's one of the top 5 quarterbacks. TJ, do stop it.
No, I didn't. Statistically, he is. Statistically.
You don't think that, though.
No.
I think it would be largely considered a disappointment so far because of the inconsistency. And I think you're looking at a superior
I'm
roster.
Putting a glass ceiling over your comments.
Thank you. You should. You should. You should.
You limited his opportunity.
I'm limiting
right
your opportunity.
Well, it depends on where I choose to be in. My glass ceiling is different. Anyways, you guys are some real. You guys are some real
welcome.
Mean people,
that's a
man.
Good one, Jason. This is the locker room, baby.
This is very mean. Anyways, it would be largely considered to be. Disappointment so far.
I can't hear you, that glass ceiling.
Just based upon.
Don't start.
Man, I'm not giving my point, man.
That's
take
twice.
Us to break, man. No, this ain't even my show.
We're going.
Next, all that other
Darnell
stuff.
Darnell is there, Super 6 game tonight.
Come on.
Yes, sir, it is, man. Before the Chargers and Raiders kick off tonight, download the Fox Sports Super 6 7 and play
y'all
for free.
So horrible,
for a chance
man.
To win Terry Bradshaw's 25 G's with Lock Marcellus. That's when our fans some money. Mm. One of the questions for tonight's game is, which team will win and by how many points?
Yeah.
Who you got?
Your favorite quarterback situation. Let's hear it now.
I love the Raiders tonight. They're going to win by 6 points. Look, they're getting a point. They're going to win by 6. Derek Carr is going to play well at a very affordable price.
Oh, in my Arnold Schwarzenegger voice, go Chargers. You know we're going to get this again. We beat them 4 straight. This is going to be 5 straight. You saw what happened last week against the Green Bay Packers. Came in there hot, all high and mighty. Humbled, and it's going to happen to the Raiders who are feeling good as well. So I say the score is 21-13, LA Chargers.
Hey, LeVar, I'm going to treat you like a white Pro Bowl linebacker.
Here we go.
Would you like to give a pick?
No.
I'm not going to treat you any differently than anybody else.
No.
Would you like to give a pick?
I see what you're doing right now, Whitlock, and I'm not going to buy into your rhetoric.
CJ, would you like to give a pick?
Oh, man, I think the Raiders going
to
win.
All right, be sure Raiders to tune in tonight.
Chargers are going to win.
It's an AFC West showdown. It's Phillip Rivers and the Chargers take on Derek Carr and the Raiders. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox, the NFL Network, and streaming on Prime Video. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Derek Carr, who plays tonight for the Raiders. All right, but first, who's the big dummy of the day?
Don't you know?
You know.
You know.
Yo, big dummy of the day go to the person that said, you always follow the head instead of the tail.
I didn't say that. I said the tail. You don't
really?
Follow the tail. I didn't
that's
say
the
that.
Best you got from Columbia.
I ain't go to Harvard. So you act like I got there. Right.
Let's talk Derek Carr, who is having a very solid season
that.
So far.
Say that.
But before the year, there had been some questions about whether John Gruden was fully committed to Carr long term.
Committed.
All right, Marcellus, do you think the Gruden-Carr marriage will be long term?
No.
No.
This is not a shot, but this is just of record. He's a losing quarterback, and I'm not marrying a loser. So 4 of his 5 seasons have been losing, and his 6th one is at 500. So, no, he's going to obviously take them to Vegas. They're going to get all the branding and marketing and the reception that they want, and then they're going to look at this record for real and say, if you don't shape up, we're going to ship you out.
Uncle Jimmy, I can completely disagree. I love Derek Carr. He's at the right price. It's the best quarterback situation in the AFC West. John Gruden or are you?
Listen up.
You Uncle
man.
Chucky?
Listen here. My name, you can call me Uncle Chucky, but let me tell you, I'm one heck of a coach, man. I coach football. Okay? And just based on that alone, I'm going to tell you all you guys one thing. You can bet your left butt cheek that Derek Carr's the real deal, man. You know why? Because he's a grinder, man. He grinds. And you know what that makes him?
What?
That makes him a grinder, man. Now, look here. Look here, Whitlock. I heard you talking about the Hyundai earlier. Let me tell you something. Those are some damn fine cars there, bud. Have you ever driven one?
I have.
Hey, even you can get into one of those things, man. They're huge. Hey, let me tell you something. I could see Uncle Jimmy driving one of those things. Hint, hint. Put me some nice 26s on those things. And you know what that make me?
What?
That make me a grinder, man. Am I right? Look here, I know all you guys thought I was crazy back at the beginning of the season. I told you guys. What did I say? Camille who? Amari what? And Antonio Brown, hey, don't get me talking about that guy, man. Let me tell you, the guy burnt his feet, man. Hey, wait, let me tell you something. Until today, man, we really don't know how the hell that guy burnt his feet, okay? How the hell you burn your feet, man? Hey, I thought you people were supposed to be good at barbecue. knock on wood if you're with me.
Hell no.
Let me tell you something, man.
What?
Look here, man. You don't sign up to be a Raider, man, just to throw sand up a butterfly's ass. Knock if you're with me. Hey, let me tell you something, man. You don't put on the silver and black, man, just to go play Jenga with a pack of wild kangaroos in a schoolyard, man. Knock if you're with me, man. Look here, man, just listen to me. Come tonight, when Philip Rivers comes to cry us a river, man, we're not gonna drown in it, man. You know, there comes a time in life, man, where every bathtub needs to stand on its own belly. Okay, you know why? Because we're men, man. We grind.
Men, man.
We're a heck of a team. This is what we do, man. Listen up. Like it or love it, football, America, Raiders, Super Bowl. Hey, the ceiling's your roof, man. Knock if you're with me, man. All right, let's go.
You need to tell that to LeVar. The ceiling's your roof.
The ceiling's your roof.
I've got Derek Carr, come on.
All the way up to all-star status.
There you go.
21 job performance is my biggest move. 72 all-star for Derek Carr.
Same. His biggest move was job performance, but look at us.
How do we agree?
First time in history.
And you've been bad-mouthing Derek Carr.
I mean, look, I'm just talking about his record. Oh. But this year, in this moment, he's playing well. He's playing above average, obviously. Not enough to justify all the indiscretions of before, but he's still
all right.
The
internet agrees with us.
Yeah,
they also have him at all-star.
All three of them.
50% of internet voters have him at all-star level.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for us. We'll be back tomorrow.
Right, man.